Welcome to Gardening Talk back onto When You Are FM. Greg Richard, joined by Judy Sharp today. Great to see you back, Judy.
Oh, thank you, Greg. We had a little break, didn't we?
We did over the Easter
weekend. Yeah, it was nice.
How was your Easter weekend?
Oh, well, I had visitors from Mornington, my twin goddaughters and their mum.
Oh, lovely.
But, you know, they were very adventurous. They wanted to go in the bogey hole, and I said, not if the waves are breaking, Greg.
No.
And they were. And there they were. You could pick them because they're identical twins, right in the middle waiting for the waves to come.
Well, you may as well. If you're not here very often, you may as well jump in.
Oh, well, that's right. They don't have anything like that down in Mornington.
No. Autumn's coming up. Well, it is autumn now.
It is, yes.
We've got to start doing some prep work, I guess.
We do, definitely, yes. So we should cover that today. We need to talk about gardenias. We need to talk about roses. And we need as well to talk about the autumn planting.
Right. What we're going to plant and
well,
when to plant.
You know, it's a lot of prep time now. You know, we've got Anzac Day coming up, and that means poppies get planted.
I was just about to say that.
Oh, were you? Sorry.
I should have left. I
took your thunder.
You did. Finally, I knew something, and I didn't get the opportunity. First up today, we've got Lee from Madawi, and he's got a question about the lemon tree.
Hello, Lee. That's right. I think you rang us last time we were on air.
Yeah, I did, and you've had a week off.
We have had a week off, and I'm thinking maybe your photo came in while we weren't here. What do you think?
I could have done too.
Possibly, yeah.
I did go back to it, the leaves on the top that have wilted a bit, and there was a little black bug in there.
Uh-huh.
Looked like a ladybird, but just black.
Right. You sure it wasn't scale?
No. I've checked all of that.
Right, okay. Yeah. So did you spray it with anything, Lee?
Yeah, well, I wiped it all over and I sprayed it with a bit of white oil.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yep. Well, that's what you do if it's scale anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, good on you.
Should I leave the wilted leaves on or cut them off?
Oh, look, it's only trying to substantiate them. I would cut them off, Lee.
Yeah, and then should shoot again.
It should shoot again, yes.
Terrific.
Yeah,
okay,
particularly
thanks very
now.
Much, Judy.
After all the rain, it'll shoot again.
Yeah, you won't be worried about that.
No,
yeah,
that's
very
for
much,
sure.
Judy.
Look, I'm glad that worked for you, Lee. You're welcome. Thank
it
you.
Will. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Okay, right, bye.
Just quickly, my garden's still dry. I checked it this morning, and even after all that rain last week, still
well,
dry.
Well, I'm going to come to a critical point here, Greg.
Yeah.
What do you do with your garden? I know you grow chilies, and so do our listeners.
Yep.
But do you ever use fertiliser?
On occasion.
Once a year before the chilies go in, probably?
Oh, probably twice, maybe two times, three.
Well, I've got a confession to make.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you Scott pruned the lime?
Yep.
And it gradually died. But I looked at that bed over the weekend and the soil isn't very good. And I think that's because it's in a lower bed and I think the topsoil washes off. So it went through my mind yesterday that it needs a good dose of poultry manure because I was trying to grow the lime and perhaps something with more body in it. So some soil conditioner. And you sound like you really haven't done any of that, have you?
No, I'm drawing a blank, just as you mentioned, soil conditioner. Almost shampooing the soil.
No, you've got to do a little bit of building up, I think.
Yep.
If it hasn't had a happy look about it after all that rain, well, that's exactly what my bed looked like.
Right.
And it is because it's on a slope of the drive, so it was just probably running off. So I've been a bit slack too because I've looked at it a couple of times when Arthur goes to chase the lizards in there.
Yep.
And I thought, no wonder the lizards are living in there.
Nice and dry for them.
Nice and dry for them, yeah. Mm.
And Judy, looking at gardenias as well today.
Oh, you know why? My gardenias growing down my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to pick a few.
Oh, okay, right.
And the perfume's beautiful in the house. And then I looked at the soil, as you did after all the rain, as you did and I did, and they definitely need a little bit of a boost.
Okay.
Because that kind of rain, heavy rain, it leaches the elements out of the soil. So what I'd like to see our listeners doing, check out if you've got yellow leaves developing, and then you need to add some sulfate of potash.
Yep.
I knew you were going to smile at that one. We haven't said it for a long a Scotch Sharp favourite, yep. We're going to also add a little bit of chelated iron and dig in a little cow manure.
Right here.
Now, why are we doing cow when we were talking poultry earlier?
That's always gets me, this one. I can never know the difference.
Well,
alkalines for lime?
Alkalines for lime, yep. L. You just remember the L. And cow manure is for acidic, the C, for acidic.
Okay.
So that's why gardenias like cow manure, because they like acidic soil. So we're going to hit them with cow manure.
Yep.
We're going to hit them with sulfate of potash.
Yep.
So you could do the show for me. And chelated iron. And dig that in and water it in well. And that should solve any problems if you start to develop yellow leaves. But at this point in time, I think they would like a feed up anyway, because, you know, it depends where you've got them. But mine is on a slope, so the soil would have leached out and probably gone down to the gutter, unfortunately. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, there are other things we've got to take care of too.
Right. Do you want to have a look at that a bit later? Or?
Oh, whatever you'd like to do. I'm easy. I'm not easy, but.
It's good to see it's easy street here. Gardening talk back. But well, we might have a look at that a little bit later.
Okay. Rightio, you're the boss.
And we've got Terry from Mayfield, and he's got a question about cotton scale.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Yeah, hi, Judy. Can you hear me okay?
I can. What have you got the cotton scale on?
Lily Pilly Hedge.
Oh, Yep.
I have, I think, got on top of it. I just wanted to check with you on the remedy. I put in a 2-litre container, like one of those that you put on the end of your garden hose. I put in a tablespoon of detergent and a cup of methylated spirits. And then just saturated with the garden hose on the 2 litres of the mixture, just saturated the whole hedge. It took about 3 goes over probably 3 or 4 months to get on top of it. But I just wanted to know if you had a better remedy, or you thought that was the adequate or the best way to go.
No. Well, look, obviously it has helped, Terry. But I was wondering how the lily pilly liked the methylated spirits.
It got drunk, but it had a good time. No, it was fine.
Good. Well, look, what I would be doing, Terry, is using malathion and white oil.
Right. Okay, malathion and white oil. Yeah. But that's the stuff you can buy at Bunnings in a container, isn't it?
Well, look, no, you're better to buy malathion separately and buy your white oil and then combine them together.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if you buy it already mixed, the white oil, the malathion isn't as strong as if you buy it in a bottle. So when you go to look, Terry, just have a look at the mixture rate on the bottles. But I generally beat cotton scale by just using the white oil pretty regularly. And unfortunately, lily pillies are very prone to it.
Yes, that's my next worry, because it's a nice boundary fence hedge.
Yes, yeah.
And I had it looking cracking with it all hedged nicely and groomed and flat and vertical, you know, like box look about it. And I just had to I took the top foot off it, because the cotton scale seemed to like the top branches more. And then I just got into it with the sprays, but the stuff I bought at Bunnings, it just drunk it. It didn't touch it at all.
Right, okay. Yeah, so you've got to do the mixture, but I would just focus on the white oil at the moment.
Okay.
You go.
Would it help, like, would you just spray it like a, you know, I won't say more, you know, those little plastic bottle, half-litre bottles, or would you put it on a bigger container like I did with the garden hose and really drown it in that mixture with the garden hose water?
I wouldn't use a little spray. A little story I could tell you, Terry, that we looked after a client at the junction, and it was a business premises, and they had us going down every 2 weeks for a number of months, because they didn't want to lose their hedge, and it was a fantastic hedge. But the boys had to really get into it I didn't do it. I just went down and cracked the whip. And they had to get into the back and down the bottom. That scale is a bit of an enigma. It can hide itself. So
yeah, okay.
Just be careful that you haven't even got it down, but, you know, really deep where you've hedged.
Right, thank you. Yeah. It's got that very greasy skin on it. And to me, it looked as though the skin, you had to get through that to get to the bug itself.
Yes, well.
It protects itself very well.
And that's what the Malathon does.
Okay.
Yeah, the Malathon does that. So I'm still inclined to think, you know, you could go for the Malathon and white oil. I'm sure that's how we beat it in on our client. But, you know, if you want to, just keep working on it with the white oil.
Okay, thank you. Well, okay. I'll have to keep at it because I'm worried it might come back, and if it comes back, I just got to keep on it. But at present, I think I'm on top of it. Let's hope it stays that way. Thank you.
No, you're quite welcome, Terry. Good luck with it. It is a problem.
Okay, thanks, Judy. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Terry. You too. Bye.
And we've got Steve from Stockton, and he's got a question about his cherry trees.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Judy. It's not a normal cherry tree. It's a Caribbean cherry.
Right,
it's known,
yes.
It's known by some other name, but I can't pronounce.
That's all right. I mean, I think I can work on the cherry tree side.
Yeah. I put two in, same size, same time, about 2, maybe 3 years ago. One of the trees, they're both the same size. They're both healthy. The trunks are the same size. Everything about them is exactly the same. However, one is flowering and fruiting at least 3 times a year. The other one, it may get 3 or 4 flowers and it may get a couple of berries, but that's it. And I was wondering, is there something wrong with the tree, even though they look the same and I can't see any bugs or anything, or is it just unlucky that I've got a tree that's probably not going to produce a lot of fruit?
Okay, Steve. Are they grafted?
Yes, they are.
Right, okay. That could be your problem. There are grafts and there are grafts, and I gather you bought them together.
Yeah, I bought them from a tropical fruit nursery up in North New South Wales.
Right, right. Well, you can't check on the grafting now, I suppose, unless you want to go for a run up to northern New South Wales. But I think that could be the problem. So what you probably need to do, Steve, have you hit it with sulphate of potash?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've got a few other tropical trees that I'm trying to grow and they're all doing really well and I put a lot of potash around and basically I baby them and nurse them. Growth.
Okay, now tell me, you did say they're planted in the same place.
Yeah, basically about 3 or 4 metres apart from each other along the side fence.
Right, okay.
But they do well. They get the same amount of water. I've got a sprinkling system around on that side, so it's really strange. Everything's exactly the same. I mean, I've got a couple of custard apple trees that I'm growing, and I put them in. They're side by side on another fence line, and they're exactly the same. They're doing really well. They're growing the same height, the same width, almost the same amount of branches, and they're perfect.
Right,
but for
okay.
For some strange reason, this tree just does not want to flower and does not want to produce fruit.
Now, Steve, I was kind of thinking about the salt you would get over there.
We did have our bore water tested about 18 months ago, about 2.5 years ago, because we use a lot of bore water, obviously, to keep the trees going. And the actual bore water is not an issue. In fact, it's quite good, they say. We had it tested at the local nursery.
Right, okay. Steve, I was thinking about drift when the salt blows in from the ocean. You would get a certain amount of salt there.
Well, we would get a little bit, but it's shaded because another house is on the beachfront, so it's actually, it doesn't get a lot of wind.
Right, okay.
So there is a fair bit of protection there. But if one was going to get salt, the other one definitely would get salt because they're right, that close together. Yeah,
that's what I was looking for. So, Steve, what we've got to go back to now is the grafting.
Yeah,
now,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but, you know, if the tree looks nice and it's trying very hard, just keep, you know, at it with the sulphate of potash and, yep. you know, give it perhaps more than you're giving the other one and let's see what happens.
No problem.
Okay. Sorry I can't do better than that, Steve, but you sound like you've got everything covered. You know your garden and you know what you're doing, so, you know, you can't be blamed. You can't blame yourself if one of the grafts aren't good.
Oh, look, I understand that. It's just being so strange, and I've actually written back to the nursery where I got them from, and I've said to them exactly like I said to you, and they haven't got an answer for me either.
Yeah, well...
Whether they know it could be a graft and don't want to take it on themselves in, I don't know. But,
no, probably not.
But, yeah, it's just really strange because everything else I've brought from them is perfect and it's growing. Like, they're all growing. I mean, I even got a coconut, a dwarf coconut from them. It's still growing.
Oh, right, right. Well, you're having a lot of luck, Steve, so let's just go out and give this one a nice some cuddle or something. But, you know, maybe like jacarandas, you know the story with jacarandas, when they don't flower, you have to go out and kick the stump. Some people actually hit it with a, you know, say with a plank of something. And it just, they think they're going to die, so then they start to flower. No, that's true. If you've got an old... No, what are you laughing at, Greg? Steve, if you have an old Yates garden guide, you have a look and see there's this silly woman in there who commented once about jacarandas and she used to go and kick them with her high heel shoes.
I might go and use a sledgehammer on this tree when I get home in half an hour.
Well, I would, Steve, but, you know, you can't even imagine who that woman would be, can you?
It wouldn't be you, Bonnie, Jeff.
I don't know why they keep putting it in there, Steve. It was a long time ago, but I think they think it's funny. Yeah, it was me, but that's exactly how I got my jacaranda to flower.
Well, I'll try it on this one. I'll let you know how I go.
Okay, that'll be great. Thanks, Steve. Good luck with it.
No worries.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7. We've got time for a couple more calls, and we've got Pat from Cardiff. And, oh, curl grub in pots, this does not sound good, Pat.
Have you had curl grubs, Greg?
I think everyone's had curl grubs at least once or twice in their life.
Hello, Pat. How are you going apart from the curl grubs?
Well, thanks, Judy. Good afternoon. I'm just transferring a Camellia succinctus from a large pot into the garden, and I notice the roots are covered in curl grubs.
Oh, no, not a succinctus.
Yes.
Oh, is it in flower?
Not yet. It's just budding.
Oh, gosh. They look so beautiful at the moment.
Yes.
I was going to talk about them today, but we've run out a bit of time. Look, the curl grubs, the best thing to use is Carbaryl.
Right. Okay.
Now, you might need to use it a couple of times because they do have a hatching cycle.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, it will definitely kill them.
Good. That's what I'll do. I was thinking of one of the eco neems or something like that might do, but Carbaryl's a shot because it gets rid of army grubs, doesn't it?
It does. Now, you've got a good memory, as good as mine, because once we only used Carbaryl on army grub.
Yes. Now there's all sorts of killers.
Now there's all sorts of cures, but I still like the old Carbaryl. So that will definitely get rid of the curl grubs. But, you know, you will have to reapply it.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Jude.
You're welcome, Pat. That was an easy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Bye.
We've got Val now from Rutherford, and she's got little black bugs on her hibiscus plants.
Hi, Val.
Hi, Judy.
Can you describe them for me?
Pardon?
Can you describe them for me? Are they...
Oh, they're just a tiny little black mite beetle. But very tiny, very tiny, and they're right in the buds.
Oh,
and the buds
right,
are all
okay.
Falling off.
Yep, you've got hibiscus beetle.
Yes.
And it is a little bit hard to get rid of. So when you go shopping and you're looking at the nursery, to buy the chemical, because it will require a chemical, just go along and one will mention hibiscus plants. So you can only buy that specific one. It's the only one that does the job.
Okay. Hibiscus, what was the second word?
It's just say you're looking along and you want hibiscus plants. We'll treat the hibiscus plants for the bug because you've got hibiscus beetle.
Beetle, yep. Yeah, I've looked it up on Google, but just says Searle's Congard, is it? Concord or...
Oh, Confidor, but, Confidor.
Well, and, I used to use that, but it's not available anymore, is it?
Oh, it is. It definitely is, Val. Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, you might only buy it in tablet form, but that one will do the hibiscus beetle.
Okay.
But you might have a bit, that's why I said just go and search along the shelf and, although if you go to a nursery, they might be able to give you advice about it.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much,
Judy. That's okay, Val. Let us know how you go.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Val. It's Gardening Talk back on to when you are at FM. Judy, you've got a big list there, or
I
biggish
have.
List.
I have.
You've got probably, I reckon, 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
To rattle through it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let's talk about roses. And it's time to trim off the dead blooms and apply sudden impact to encourage an autumn flush.
Right.
And particularly after that bit of rain, I did mine with sudden impact at the weekend and they're already shooting, so.
Already?
Yes. Look, just shooting. I'm saying that, but they are, and I thought it was a bit of a miracle, to be honest, but I think it's the combination of the rain, and I did go out in the rain and put the sudden impact on, so I was very, very keen because the roses had been looking a little bit sad. I better not get sidetracked there. That'll give them an autumn flush. Now, autumn is a great time, Greg, to plant out trees and shrubs. You know why?
Why?
They've still got some growing time.
Right. And they'll be fine through winter as well? Or?
Yes, but they won't burn in the heat of summer when a lot of people do plant.
Yep.
But now they've got a little bit of growing time going. And what you've got to concentrate on is deciduous trees now because they'll start dropping leaves. Have you noticed that? Of course you have.
Of course I have. Not around my area, but...
Well, after the rain, you know, you find a lot of deciduous trees have dropped leaves.
Yep.
And they're telling us a story. The ground is very cold underneath them. Now, we're not experiencing the cold, but they are. So what you need to do is spray them now, when they drop their leaves, with copper oxychloride because they are prone to fungal diseases. So when your new crop comes out, when the new leaves come out, if you've sprayed with the copper oxychloride, they'll come out nice and clean.
Right. Should you do any pruning now as well? Or?
Well, you could, but probably you're better to wait closer to the spring. And it depends what variety it is too, because if the deciduous trees are fruit-bearing, well, you wouldn't prune now.
Right.
Okay. So I think, are you going to say...
Gets me out of doing a job.
Gets you out of doing a job. Right, okay. I saw you giving me the signal then. Mm. Okay, spring bulbs. Yep. Now is the time to select them and prepare to plant in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
Okay, so we'll continue this next week.
That's guaranteed 2 weeks' time?
Yes.
Okay, right, yeah. 2 weeks' time. Judy Sharp, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Greg.
And we'll talk to you again... Well, yeah, 2 weeks' time, isn't it?
No, next week.
Yeah,
next
sorry.
Next week, yeah. Oh, you want Easter again.
Yeah, I'm getting confused with Easter and it's changed my clock. Daylight savings ended. It's all, everything's back to front now. Everything's up and down.
It is. Sleep patterns are gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Judy Sharp. Back again next Monday on 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.